My mother was about 5 feet tall, a little over, I suppose. And me being 6'4½" didn't quite figure out right. I don't know where I got that, but he was a shorty. My dad, he was around 5'10 or so, and so I must have got somebody's genes in the previous generation. But I was always the guy she would call when she was too short to reach something out of the cupboard. She'd cry out my name, and I'd have to go grab it for her because she was just too short. The Bible says that we have fallen short of the glory of God. Just can't quite reach it. Now understand with me that the glory is not heaven, because some of us have defined glory as a place, when in essence, glory is a condition or it's a status. It is the manifest presence of God. So we've all fallen short of the manifest presence of God, the place that God wants us to operate in. And we know that Jesus Christ has come to restore us to our rightful place. I want you to know this morning that the kingdom of God is not a theology. It's not a kingdom of theology. It's not a kingdom of religion. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. Earlier, if you were here on time, you saw the video prior to the start of the service. And it contrasted the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light. And that the kingdom of light is more powerful than the kingdom of darkness. Amen? So we understand that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. And now when I say the word kingdom, we being in the Western world don't quite understand the significance of that term because we have grown up in a democracy. We really don't appreciate the understanding of kingdom and a king with princes and princesses who rule and reign in a domain. But God has set up a kingdom and not a democracy. And when we begin to understand kingdom, we realize that there is one who has all authority, all power in this realm, and is ruling and reigning. We understand that Jesus Christ has afforded to us his authority and power to rule and reign with him. Now that's important for us to get into our hearts. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 25, when Samuel anointed King Saul, the Bible says in verse 25 that Samuel had to teach the people the royal way. They had not known what royalty was all about. They had not known what kingdom life was all about. And I dare say that many in the church today have no concept of what kingdom is all about. But you and I are sons of God. Amen? Okay, that's pretty weak, but we are sons of God. Now, do we understand what that means? That means that our Father is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that we now rule and reign with him, and we carry the same authority that he has because he is our Father. And even as Jesus declared throughout the Gospels, he would tell them, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, in other words, I am empowered because my Father sent me. He understood what kingdom was all about. I dare say that most of us are living far beneath our rightful place with God. Ephesians chapter 2 and 6 says what? We are seated together with Christ. Where is he? At the right hand of the Father. Psalm 110, 1 through 3 declares this is a day of power. This is a day of what I want to term the royal age of the church. And the royal age of the church is a revelation. It is a illumination to the people of God. You know, throughout the centuries, we have earned or we have begun to perceive the various aspects of the kingdom. Did you know there was a day on this earth when people did not understand how to be saved? People had no idea that it was by faith that you could repent of your sin and ask Christ to come into your life, serve Him, and be saved. They didn't understand that. They didn't know that. It was in the 1500s when a man by the name of Luther began to muse upon the Word of God and got a revelation. And the revelation was, you could be saved by faith. You didn't have to go through all kinds of religion in order to get to heaven. And that revolutionized the entire generation and the generations after. But did you know there was a day when the people did not understand water baptism? People had no concept of the significances of Romans chapter 6 and how all of that came to pass. There was a day when people did not understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. And it's just recently has been revealed to a generation. Did you know there was a day when people did not understand body, soul, and spirit? People had no concept that we are a tripart being. And that revelation came to the church and was disclosed to the people of God. And as a result, we now can operate in gifts of healing. We can now operate under the salvation through faith. We understand now that salvation is more than just going to heaven, but it is soteria. It gives us peace. It gives us wholeness. It gives us our wellness. It provides for us nothing missing and nothing broken. And it just has opened up so much for us because we've got revelation. I want to say to us today as a church, there is a revelation being given to the church today. And that is, we are living far beneath our rightful place in God. Because many of us have been born into families that have been dysfunctional. Many of us have gone through natural experiences where we have not been affirmed, or we've not had a father, or we've not had a sound family environment. And when we grow up as adults, we become impaired. We become a people of low self-esteem. And then we get saved, and we come into the house of God, and we got all these issues, and somebody says you're supposed to rule and reign with Christ, and they have no concept of what that means, and they don't feel significant. They're searching for significance. And so the devil has done a great job, hasn't he? That's why we've got to teach the word of the Lord today, that you and I, as believers in Christ, rule and reign within the sphere that God has given to us. And you and I ought to be above and not beneath. Amen? You and I ought to be the ones that are walking in great authority on the earth. You see, Satan is powerless. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 3 and 27 that he has been rendered powerless by the one that had great power. He said, first you have to bind the strong man. And I want to introduce you to someone by the name of Jesus Christ who bound the strong man 2,000 years ago. And the devil is like a roaring lion, but let me tell you something, he has no teeth. And we have to understand this, that greater is he, right, that's in us, than he that's in the world. We need to begin to recognize the power of God that has been invested into our lives. Last week we talked out of Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5, and said that when we get knowledge, when we get increase in wisdom, strength comes. The power of God comes as a result of wisdom. The power of God comes as a result of the Word of God. And the Lord wants us to operate in power and have authority. See, you ought not to be in marital trouble. Marital trouble is a sign that you're not walking in your authority. You and I have financial trouble. We're not walking in our financial authority. You and I have a disillusionment and walking in depression. We're not operating in our solical authority. So I need to take the Word of God and begin to empower my life so that I can have domination in the various aspects of my life. You see, God is, amen? You say, what is he? He's all that you need him to be. That's what he said. I am that I am. I am all that you need me to be. And God is. And this whole generation, this whole earth, literally is waiting for the sons of God to begin to manifest on the earth. And what I mean by that is getting this revelation that we are royalty, that we are princes, and we are princesses, and beyond the whole Disney scope, and beyond the whole little play world and playland, we need to begin to raise our children with the concept in their mind that they are different. They are not paupers. They're not slaves, they're not ordinary, but they have been born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They have been born destined to take the throne in the earth. They have to take the throne of God in their realm and in their sphere. So from the very beginning of their birth, we ought to begin to declare to them what their purpose is. And you and I need to respond to say, it is my duty to rule. It is my duty to reign. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Let me read that scripture because I want us to hear it out of the Amplified Bible. Verse 19, Romans chapter 8. It says, for even the whole creation, all of nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Waits for the revealing, the disclosing of the sonship. For the creation, nature was subjected to frailty and futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who so subjected it, yet with the hope that nature, creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption, and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that whole creation of irrational creatures has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. Verse 23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves too have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's a foretaste of the blissful things to come. We groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality in the grave, which will reveal our adoption and our manifestation as God's sons. Church, we've got to go up to another level of living. We cannot stay in the defeat mode. We can no longer stay in the conquered mentality. We can't stay in the insignificant place and begin to see redemption have its full and complete work on the earth. All the earth is waiting on you and on me to take our rightful place as sons of the living God. I want you to know this morning, we serve a powerful God. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls him omnipotent. Well, not the Bible, but theologians have called him omnipotent. Everybody say that word, omnipotent. Omnipotent means this: he can do whatever he wills. You probably ought to write that down. He can do whatever he wills. Matthew, he wrote this way in chapter 19 in verse 26. It is impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. In other words, he is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Therefore, all things are possible. Because my God is an omnipotent God. Now, I don't know what kind of God you serve. I don't know if he's a dashboard-sized God, or if he's a painting, 8x10 on your wall, or is he an omnipotent God that he can do whatever he wills? But we also in theology say he is omnipresent. Say that with me, omnipresent. So we add to his omnipotence, he is omnipresent. And Psalm 139 tells us, where can I go and escape your presence? Can I go to the highest heights? You are there. If I go into the lowest of low, you are there. It doesn't matter because everywhere I go, my God is already there. So I serve a God that is everywhere. And when a Christian says, God, where are you? You're out of touch with the God that has redeemed you. Now to say, a person will say, well, I just don't understand why God doesn't do something. I just don't feel God. I just don't think he's understanding of where I'm at and what I'm going through. Child of God, listen, he is omnipresent. He is with you right there, right now, no matter where you are. You could be locked up in the most tight security jail cell in the entire world, but God will slip right through the concrete barriers, right over the barbed wire fence, through the bars, and sit down right next to you because he's an omnipresent God. You could be laying on a gurney, getting ready to go inside to have surgery on your physical body, and you know that you just wish that you could be in church this morning. Let me tell you something. God is right there with you on that gurney. God will be with you on a bar stool should you decide to backslide on Saturday night. You think he's going to walk away from you? You think you can hide from God by getting inebriated and somehow forgetting everything that you've learned? My friend, let me tell you something. God is omnipresent. But he's also omniscient. And omniscience means this: God is all-knowing. He knows all that can be known. Psalm 147 and 5 says this: his understanding is infinite. He knows all things. He knows all that can be known. God, don't you know what I'm going through? No, I'm sorry. God got caught off guard. He didn't realize what you're going through. Come on, church. He is an all-knowing God. He's an ever-present God. He is an all-powerful God. And there is a place where God is calling you and me too. God is calling us to a place. Now, there are times in my life when I'm busy and I'm engaged, and I hear somebody say, Pastor, you've got a phone call. And I say, okay, well, who is it? Did you ever ask anybody that? Because you want to qualify whether or not you're about to be interrupted. You say, who is it? Well, tell them I'll call them back. Or just let it ring right now. Have you ever looked at your cell phone and saw the number? Now, you all don't do that, do you? And you just let it ring and go to voicemail? You don't do that, do you? Amen. But God is calling a people. God is calling you, and he's calling me to a place. When you receive that phone call, it interrupts what you're doing. When you and I will receive the call of God upon our life, it will interrupt what you're doing. It will change your thinking. Because you had been thinking and engaged in one aspect of life, but when the call came, it suddenly now causes you have to engage in another thought process to accommodate the individual who's on the other line, who's on the other side of that telephone call. It will also cause you at times to change your direction, because what you were doing, the call that came now causes you to do the exact opposite. You've got to let go what you have been doing and begin to engage as a result of the call that has come to your life. And let me say this, God is calling men and women today. All over the earth, God is calling you and me. God is calling people in Lorain County. But a lot of people are letting it go to voicemail. A lot of people are saying, I'll call him back later. I don't have time. A lot of people are not willing to be inconvenienced. But I'm telling you something. Today is a day you had got to take that call from God, because the word of the Lord is going forth over the earth. And God is wanting to call us to a place. If you look at Exodus chapter 34 and verse 2, it is a scripture that tells us about the call of Moses. Here's God speaking to Moses. He says, so be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. Moses got a call and he said, I want you to come to a specific place that I have designated so that you and I can talk things over. I want you to know today God has called us to a specific place so that he could talk to us and begin to impart to us. It's got to be the place of his designation, not the place of our designation. And when I begin to think of Mount Sinai, when I begin to think of the Temple Mount, when I begin to think about the place that Christ himself was crucified, there at Golgotha's Hill, it was a specified place. God has a place for you and for me. Look at verse 29 of the same chapter, Exodus 34. And verse 29, and when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face shone and sent forth beams. Watch this. Sent forth beams by reason of his speaking with the Lord. Now we're going to go to the next verse. You can put it up there. But listen to this. Moses went to that place. Watch this. Moses went to that place. God called him to that place. He left what he was doing. He met with God. God spoke to him. And when he came down from that place, there was beams of light shining out from his face. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they feared to come near him. Next verse. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation, they returned to him, and he talked with them. Next verse. And afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had said to him on Mount Sinai. Next verse. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. I want you to read this scripture. Back up to the last scripture. I want you to read this scripture with me, everybody. Ready? Read. And when Moses... Next scripture. Read it with me. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and told the Israelites what he was commanded. Verse 35. And the Israelites, come on, read, saw the face of Moses and how the skin of it shone. And Moses put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with God. Now, this is a phenomenon of God's presence in the effect of a man's life. Now, I want you to get this morning. God called Moses to a specific place. Moses showed up. God began to talk to Moses. Moses left the conversation changed because it was a noticeable difference. There were beams of light shining forth out of his face. Now notice what he did. When he spoke to the Israelites, he allowed the beams of light to continue to shine. When he was finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. When he went into the presence of God, he took the veil off, spoke to God. When he was done, put the veil back on, walked around in life until it was time to speak to Israel. Then he took the veil off and began to speak to them. When he was done speaking, he put the veil back on. And I began to ask the Holy Spirit, what's with the veil? And I began to understand something about the sensory realm of a natural man. Four of the sense realms are in your face. Your hearing, your seeing, your tasting, your smelling. The only one is the touch. But I began to see something about Moses that when he got into the place that God called him, he was so transformed by what God said. Beams of light began to shine forth out of him. He was receiving from God something he could never receive in the world. And when he came out of that place, all of Israel recognized that there was some glory that was manifesting on Moses. And Moses preached, like I'm preaching this morning to Israel, with his face unveiled. But when he was done preaching, he put the veil back on. And God spoke to me and said, here's why he put the veil back on. Because when you go back out into the world, you want to make sure that your sensory realm is not receiving input from the world. I'm not looking at stuff I ain't supposed to look at. I'm not hearing what I'm not supposed to be hearing. I'm not touching. I'm not smelling. I'm not engaged in anything that's in the world. I have my face veiled before my God. Now, when I go back to the place that God called me and I want to talk to God again, I take the veil off. In other words, God, I'm ready now to receive from you through my sensory realm what you're saying, what you're showing me, how I'm perceiving you, how you want to impart to me. But when I go back out in the world, I got to get a veil back up on my face, lest I allow this world to influence me. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me read that scripture again. Go back to the first part of that verse. Everybody read it with me. Ready? Read, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we look into the glory, when we look into the glory, you say, where is the glory? What is the glory? When we look into the Word, God's Word is like a mirror. It reflects to us who we really are and all that God wants us to be. And we, with an unveiled face, are to behold and we are to gaze upon the glory of the Lord with an unveiled face. But many of us have come to the glory of the Lord with a veiled face because we have hardened our hearts. And we've got our mind and our eyes on the things of this world. And we've got our affections turned on the things of this world. And we come to church on a Sunday morning and hear a message. And we come to a conference and we hear a prophetic word. And it doesn't impact us. It doesn't change us because our faces are veiled. Moses said, when I come into the presence of God, I must take the veil off so that I might receive from the glory of God. When I leave the presence of God, I put the veil back on. I don't care where I'm at in the world. I live with a veil. I live with a veil. I live with a covering. Because I'm not about to be influenced by CNN. I'm not to be about to be influenced by Hollywood. I'm not about to be influenced by what you're doing, saying, or what you're thinking. Because I have already received from the glory of the Lord. And I'm covering my glory. The ever-present, all-knowing, all-powerful God has manifested himself in a place for you and I to be changed from glory to glory. And he's calling us there. He's calling us to that place. Come on up to the mountain of the Lord. And in weeks past, we've talked about mediocre Christianity. We talked about going halfway up the mountain. We talked about how we don't want to go all the way, but God's calling us to go all the way in his glory. And God's calling us to this place. Jesus said this in John chapter 6 and verse 63. He said that it is the Spirit who gives life and the flesh profits nothing. The words, everybody say the words. Say it again. The words that I speak to you are what? They are what? They are spirit. Look at somebody and say, they are spirit. Don't jump over that verse. They are spirit. God's word that he's given to you and I is spirit. This word is in spirit form. God is a spirit. And when you put your face in this word, God's spirit begins to be absorbed into your spirit, and you come face to face with power. You come face to face with glory, and you are transformed from glory to glory. Paul said this in Romans 1:16. He said that, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. This message of Christ, this word is the power of God. The word of God is spirit form. It is God's spirit in written form. And when I put my face in his word, I am putting my spirit in contact with his spirit. And glory is being revealed in my spirit. And it is transforming me from one level of glory to another. In other words, every time I get in the Word, I get a stepladder. When I'm too short to reach to the top cupboard, because I've fallen short of the glory of God, now been redeemed by the Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And every time I get in the Word, I take one step up higher. Every time I get in the Word, I'm changed from glory to glory. What am I doing? I am now not falling short of glory. I am climbing into glory. And there will be a day when I will be glorified and be translated out of this body into a new body. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Look at the scripture. Turn there, please. In the beginning was the... How many know that in the beginning the Word was? Amen? Watch this. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Let's read it together, the whole verse. Ready? Read. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Look over at your neighbor and say, do you believe this Bible is God? Most of us would say, I don't know. I have people tell me, I don't believe the scriptures are inspired of God. I have people tell me they don't believe the Bible is God's word, but a compilation of the writing of men assembled by religion and presented to a generation as God's message to a people. And they refuse to believe. Watch this now. There are some people in church that believe parts of that is God's word, and other parts are not God's word. Because they will live and comply with parts of it.
Come on.
But the other parts, they want to be God. Can I say something? It is time to leave the serving of idols and the eating of junk food of this generation. And turn and serve the living God.
Hallelujah.
Amen? How many believe that God is omnipotent? How many believe he's omnipresent? How many believe that he's omniscient? How many believe that the Word of God is God? then if I believe that the Word became flesh, if I believe the Word became flesh, do you hear what I'm saying? And dwelt among men, and the Word was suspended between heaven and earth, and was nailed to a cross, and it bled and it died to redeem mankind, then God is calling you to a place, and it's called Mount Calvary. God is calling you to a place where there will be transformation. The power of God will be revealed in you. And Moses, when he was called to that place, and God began to speak to him, what did God say to him? He gave him the tables of the testimony. He gave him the commandments of his will. He gave him his word. God gave him his word. And when Moses received his word, beams of light came up out of his spirit and began to transform him literally before a nation. Watered down, weak-kneed, yellow-bellied Christianity. Partial truth. Picking and choosing like we're at some smorgasbord. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to do that. I just don't believe it. The world looks at us and says, you're pathetic. You're absolutely pathetic. I am a future king. You are looking at King Louis. Oh, yes, you are. And I ain't the 14th either. I'm the first. Because there ain't nobody like me. There's nobody like you. You are future kings and you are future queens. I can imagine Diana's two boys. What are their names? Edward and Harry or something? William and Harry. Waking up one day about 10 or 11 years old and saying, I don't want to be a prince anymore. I wonder what the response would have been. Okay, sweetheart, you don't have to go if you don't want to. I would imagine there was a lecture that says, you have no choice in this matter, for you were born. Look at somebody and say, were you born? I'm not talking about natural birth, because obviously you wouldn't be here if you weren't born. I'm talking about, were you born? Were you born again? You know what I'm talking about? Were you born? If you were born, then, honey, you ain't got no choice. You don't have no choice. You are a prince and a princess in the making. And the only way that transformation will take place is if you go to the place of transformation. That's the word of the living God. That book that's in your lap this morning is the place where you and I will receive the glory of the Lord. My Bible is omnipotent. My Bible is omniscient. My Bible is omnipresent. Because if he's God, then all he is in my imaginary thinking of him, he is in this book. That means I can never approach this book as a religious instruction manual. I can never approach this book as a history book or a book of controversy or a book of poems or a book of prophecy. I can't limit it in any sense of the term. I must realize and embrace it, that it is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, because it is God in written form. There is a growing consensus, even among evangelicals today, that do not believe that. That God's word has been inspired and is infallible. Even when I'm saying that now, there's some of you that may think, well, I don't know that I could believe it all. It's because you've been seduced by a spirit. And because we can't receive it all, because we haven't made a decision to say, this is the eternal word of God, this is spirit in written form that's going to transform my spirit, that's going to bring me in from glory to glory, because we can't receive that ourselves, we have stayed paupers. We're being ruled. We're under dominion. We're the tail trying to wag a dog. Just trying to get by. Pray for me. Hopefully the church will make it. In a kingdom, there is no shortage. But when you have a bunch of slaves attending church, you're always going to have shortage. But if you've got princes and princesses attending church, they don't put up with nonsense. Oh, no, no, no. No, I don't think so. Everything has to be done the royal way. Psalm 107 and 20 said the word heals. Luke 5, 17 says the word delivers. Jeremiah 23, 29 says the word brings breakthrough. See, there's an all-out war to keep the word of God from entering your spirit. There's an all-out war trying to prevent the word of God from entering your spirit. You know what it is? Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the sower. The word of God is sown into the heart of a man, and what happens? Immediately the birds of the air come and try to snatch away that seed. Why? Because they know. They know. The devil knows if you get that word in your spirit, you're going to be transformed and you will no longer be short. Tall and strong. Not short of the glory. You'll be in the glory. So what does he have to do? He has to snatch it because there's no understanding, or cause tribulation, so because there's no root system, or the cares of the world, or the riches begin to choke it out. You got to come to a place in our life where we say, you know what? I'm going to make a covenant with God. I'm going to get in this word. This word is going to get into me. I'm going to veil my face. That's the biggest challenge of the church today, is we are walking with God with an unveiled face. I get emails about movies. Don't let your children see this movie because it's bad. It's about atheism. Now, that's a shame that I got to get an email to announce to the church not to take your kids to go see some Compass movie. What are you going for anyway? Say, well, I just want to take my kids to the movies. There's something wrong with that, is there? Gee, golly, man, what is this, legalism? Why do we have to warn the church that it's, don't go there because you know what, that's evil. There's hidden evil in there, and if you take them there, they're going to get seduced. Why are you taking them there anyway? So we have been so inducted into the ways of this world and the lifestyle of this world, we don't even think differently. If I go, I'm going with a veil. So then why bother going? You can't see it.
That's right.
So that means that as a believer, if you go, you got to take your veil off if you want to see it. If you want to hear it, you got to take your veil off. So we are seeing and hearing stuff that we ought not to be hearing and seeing.
Amen.
It's like little babies talking around, listening to adults in the conversation. You ever been with children and you say, okay, don't say that because the kids are here.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever do that? No. Honey, don't swear like that in front of the baby. That baby going to start swearing at you. Isn't that true? Little baby comes up and says, oh, you blankety blank blank blank. I say, where'd you learn that? From Dad. So you don't want to say that in front of them because they absorb it. Our little granddaughter, Precious, I don't know where she's at. She's 2, 3, how old is she? 3. In a car the other day, she tells somebody that is not appropriate to say.
All right.
She used that word, appropriate. So where'd you get that word? Appropriate. Three-year-old telling us it's not appropriate. Her mother used the word. And because she heard it, she now uses it. Can I pass out some veils today? You say, oh, God, look at here. Church on North Coast, they're getting Muslim. They want all the people wear veils, shrouds. I was going to preach this in a shroud this morning, but I didn't have the guts. By the way, your son wanted me to say happy birthday, Beth. I was going to put a shroud on, just preaching with them little, like little black screen up here. Come on, church. How many want to go a little higher? How many want to go a little further? Come on. How many want to get in a 30, 60, 100-fold realm? My wife and I made a fresh new commitment to the Word of God. We're going to be in it in the morning. We're going to be in it at noontime. We're going to be in it at night. We're going to start receiving from the Word of God. Turn that TV off. Turn that music down. Throw them movies out the window. Get them video games and send them back to hell where they came from. That's all, boy, the preacher's preaching against video games. Good grief. Me, you can't even watch the Browns. Come on, man. I'm not saying go that far, but you better wear a veil. Last week, I'm with my family. We're watching the Browns trying to beat Arizona. Eating stuff and laughing and having a good time. And a commercial comes on, and some long-legged chick walks in there with angel wings on, talking about how there's going to be a program. I said, where's a clicker thing? Change that! It was too late. I already saw the image. They're shrewd. A 14-year-old grandson doesn't need to see that. I won't hear it. I want to walk holy before the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Give us a people, Father, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that will say no to the ways of this world. Father, forgive us if we have engaged too much. God, I know, just forgive me, Lord. I'll be the first to say, God, forgive me. Lord, I want to get into your word. I want to delve into your word. Father, I want to come to that place and let the glory of the Lord transform me. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask this question. If you're here today and you're not right with God, you're lukewarm with your walk with God, and today you say, Pastor, I'm going to make a covenant with God. I'm going to the mountain. I'm coming to the place, the word of God, where I can be transformed and where I can be changed. That's you today. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm making a covenant with God. Don't raise your hand for me, but raise your hand for Jesus if that's you. Come on, all over this room, there ought to be hands everywhere. Not five or six. Everybody, all of us ought to say, I'm going. Amen. I'm going to the mountain. My hand's up as a preacher. I'm going to the mountain. Glory to God. I'm going to the mountain. Going to the place where God will change me, transform me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's a good song. Sing that song. Come on, everybody, stand up. Mr. Troy's going to come and close the service out. I want you to seek the face of God. Pray for us as we, every Sunday, race from here and go all the way out to Beachwood. God would protect us. There would be a great anointing over there. But today, I want you to veil your face. Get in Exodus 32. Veil your face. 32. And just separate yourself to the things of the Word. Amen? Come on, lift up your hands and worship Jesus.
Come on, let's worship the Lord, church.
trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Altar minister, can you make your way forward, please? Many of us this morning, we have an appointment. We have a divine appointment this morning. We have an appointment with the image consultant, the great image consultant named Jesus, who's going to transform our inside, how we see ourselves, from a servant to a royal holy nation. Let's pray, church. Lord, as we bend our hearts to you this morning, reveal to us, God, where we're living beneath our royal purpose, our royal destiny on the earth, God. Reveal to our hearts this morning where we're behaving like paupers. Right now, God, speak to us personally. Where are we not allowing the influence of the kingdom of heaven to have access into our lives? Take us from a mentality of beneath to a mentality of above. Give us this morning the mind of Christ. Give us his thoughts and his purposes. His ways, reveal them to us this morning. We revere you, God. We thank you, Lord, for the veil is being removed while we're in your presence, Lord. Help us speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer this morning, our altar workers are here and they want to pray for you. If you want to just come and spend time at the altar this morning and allow God to transform you from an image of a pauper to a prince, come, the altars are open. If you need a personal word from the Lord this morning, our altar workers are over on this side in this living room. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning, don't leave going out of this place unempowered. Leave this place this morning empowered by the Holy Spirit. We love you this morning, church. Go empowered and live a royal life. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Come. The altars are open. God bless you as you go.